Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All Things Covered listeners, All Things Covered viewers, once again, we're back with you guys. We got an outstanding show, promised an outstanding guest. Fourth round pick in 2011 out of Mississippi State, 10 seasons with the Seattle Seahawks, also a Super Bowl champion, spent last season with the Las Vegas Raiders, made the Pro Bowl in 2016, should have made a few, but yep. They only got him documented for one. Let's keep it real. He should have made a few. But they have them down for one, so I'll mention the one. No other than KJ Wright, Seahawks great, joining us here. Pat Peterson, Brian McFadden. KJ, thank you for joining us. How you feeling?
What's up, fellas? Doing good, man. How y'all doing?
Man, we're doing
man, let's
great,
start
man.
To
we
the blessed. Beginning. What'd you say, Pat P?
No, you asked how we was doing. I said, we great, man. We blessed.
All Amen. Day. All day in America. Oh, yeah. By the way, Pat P, you what? Saw what happened. I know we're going to talk about it, but I ain't going to get on to you about the Super Bowl, but we're going to talk about that a little
yeah,
later.
My team lost, but did it 23 cover?
The under. Yes, I hit the under.
On the 23?
Yes, the under. It was 23 and a half. It was 23 or 24. It was 23 and a half or 24. I hit it.
I thought you said it was 23. If it was 23, you definitely didn't hit it.
I hit the first half under, Pat P.
So it had to be 23 and a half.
It was 23 yeah. and a half. Eric just gave
that's what that. When we was on the show, sorry, KJ, for taking it away from your time. But good, when you were on the show, you were saying it was 23. And I said the bet was it's gonna be over 23 points.
Well, whatever I said, I might have said the wrong thing, but whatever I put my bet in was the right thing. Hey, real quick, for this story. So I'm watching the game. In the media, right, with the media. And I forgot that I'm actually part of the media now. So when I was watching the game towards the halftime, I said, man, I just don't need no more points to happen because I need to hit my first half under. So everybody's like, Mac, you can't talk like that. What you mean? Like, man, you got to be quiet. Hey, so when the halftime hit, I said, oh, man, my under hit. I stood up, everybody looking at me like I was in a library. They're like, Mac, what are you doing? You can't. I said, man, you know what? I got to go watch the game in the cubicle, man. I can't watch with y'all, man. Man, I hit that first half. Hey, KJ, Y'all still current players, so y'all can't
play. Yeah, ain't no betting. Ain't no betting.
Devil's neck that like I am. I'm heavy in the gambling sauce, brother. So, hey, that's one of my gambling cheer moments from this past Sunday. But, KJ, let's start in the beginning, man. You went to Mississippi State, an underrated pipeline, to say the least, when it comes to talent that gets to the NFL. Mm-hmm. Why do people oftentimes sleep on Bulldog players, especially when they get to the next level?
I mean, I believe that it's time to stop sleeping on us. We got dog, we got dogs everywhere, starting with myself. We got Dak Prescott, Fletcher Cox, Darius Slay,
Chris Jones.
Sweat. The list goes on and on. And so they're trying to say that it's the new D-line U. I don't know if we quite have gotten there yet, but we putting dogs out. And so Mississippi State, the place to go.
And some other names that you didn't mention for our listeners and our viewers that might not be familiar with Mississippi State players that are currently in the NFL, Pernell McPhee, Preston mm-hmm. Smith, Jonathan Abram, Cam Dantzler, Pat P's teammate, Denico Autry, Jeffrey Simmons, who's a baller, Montez Sweat, just to name a few. So like you said, you guys been doing a great job in getting guys ready for the next level. And then when they get there, they go out and ball out. So kudos to what Mississippi State has been able to do.
Yep. It's just a thing. When you say Starkville, Mississippi, it's not the most elaborate place on the map.
No doubt about it.
The ultimate goal is to go to the NFL. That's the ultimate goal. Have your fun in college, get your degree, and then go ball out in the league.
Tell me, how didn't those cowbells not get on your nerves?
it worked in our advantage. it worked in our advantage, man. First of all, when I got them, I'm like, what the hell are these cowbells? Like, what's the meaning behind it? First of all, I never found that out.
What is the meaning? You never found it out?
Never found it out.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it came from a game because I asked the same question my sophomore year because I only played that one year. I think it came from a game, and I can't remember what game it was from. It was an SEC game, and it was a rivalry game. and a fan was just literally just blowing the cowhorn, doing the cowbell, and y'all won the game. And that's how, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Eric, look that up.
See, I heard that a cow roamed on the field and it was a good luck charm, but I don't know how much I believe a cow just ran walking on the football field. So
yeah, I don't think that one's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Hey, Pat P, it sounded like those cowbells got on your nerves when you went there at one time.
They definitely probably did get on this nerve. Hey, but KJ, it's a pleasure, first and foremost, to be, draft in the same draft class as you. But I did not know you was the 13th linebacker drafted and only the third one still playing with Von Miller and Justin Houston.
Yeah.
Did you view your draft position as motivation?
Bro, I was sitting there just sick to my stomach on draft day. Mm-hmm. The first day went by, I was cool. Okay, first round, let's get that out the way.
Right.
And then that second day, it got to me. When I saw just names that I've never heard of getting taken in front of me, the teams will call me, the Saints will call me, hey, we up. If you up here, we about to take you. Mm-hmm. They take Martez Wilson, another linebacker. And so the disrespect was definitely real on draft day. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, at pick number 99, somebody came to their senses and and they took me. Coach Carroll called me pick number 99, fourth round. And so it was a great day, man. Ever since I got there, I had that chip on my shoulder, that motivation, and I haven't looked back since.
And no I doubt, will no say doubt. This. It seemed like I couldn't get away from you, obviously, playing against you, against Mississippi State, and also 10 years against Seattle. I low-key kind of hate that they picked you first and Bobby Wagner right after you, because you guys became one of the best linebackers tandem to play within that 10-year span. So I tell you what, every time we played against you guys, it was like, hey, I don't know how many rushing yards we're going to get. You y'all going to be in cover three. Y'all had 50 freaking 54. Right? Number 50, 50 51.
51.
Yeah, exactly. 54 and 50 going to be all over the field because you did not miss tackles and Bobby got everybody lined up.
Man, I'm telling you, man, them battles, first of all, them battles we had in that division, bro, with us, with San Fran, with the Rams. It didn't get much better than that in our era. Mm-hmm. And, man, it was always fun going against you and Carson Palmer, Larry the GOAT. I felt like Larry was my teammate on Sunday sometimes, the way we connected. And it was a pleasure, man.
Hey, wait, I got to go back real quick. Tell me if you remember this play and you knew y'all got away with one. 2016, when they just implemented the new rule that you cannot jump over the center. The overtime game that ended in a tie. The one that Bobby, it was either you or Bobby jumped over the center and blocked the kick.
That was Bobby.
Tell me you knew you guys got to do one, right?
The rule was you couldn't push against the guy's back.
Uh-huh.
Bobby just faked like he was pushing on his back. Made a little contact, but he jumped over the pile and then blocked it.
Hey, that was a crazy play, man. And a crazy game because it ended up in 6-6. And man, that was just a defensive battle. That was one of the greatest games that I feel that we played as a team in our 10-year battles, for sure.
I didn't realize it was 6-6.
Yeah, it was 6-6.
Yeah.
And we both, and I think because y'all had we had the ball first, we missed the field goal. Then y'all had the ball last, then y'all missed the field goal. Then when y'all missed the field goal, then y'all ended up blocking it, and then the game ended up in the tie.
Yeah.
It was a crazy
game. Was that game in Seattle, Pat P?
No, it was home.
It was home.
It was in Arizona. I think it was a Sunday night game, if I'm not mistaken. It was a night game. Sunday night or Thursday night.
Yeah, everybody was cramping up. We played like 90 plays.
It was crazy.
The game was wild.
It was.
No doubt. So KJ, you go in the fourth round in 2011, and then in 2012, the Seahawks bounced right back with another monumental draft. Drafting Bobby Wagner in the second and Russell in the third. What were your early impressions of how they could help the team based on what you saw early from Bobby Wagner and then understanding and realizing Russell will eventually be the starting quarterback for the franchise?
Yeah, I believe first thing first, that we got to talk about my dog, Bruce. Bruce was the first pick.
Oh, yeah.
Bruce Irvin, came on the scene, had a dominant rookie year. I think he had like eight, nine sacks his rookie year. Yeah. And so he really started it off. And then we saw he coming off the edge. I played alongside Bobby. Russell was the backup in OTAs and most of training camp. And he was going against him and Matt Flynn was competing against the starting spot.
Yep.
And we knew it wasn't even close there. Russ about to be the guy to take us to the promised land. And so it was just fun, man, just playing with those guys all those years. I had the honor to play next to a Hall of Famer that I believe with Bobby. Just the way we pushed each other, I saw the way that he came to work early, the way he prepared, the way he made plays on Sundays. And so great draft. And, you know, I had a great draft myself with the 2011 class.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Tell me, where does Legion and Boom come from?
Shit, I don't know. I think somebody on Twitter gave him that name.
Okay.
And I think somebody on Twitter gave him that name. But just, bro, with them four dudes, we had all different type of personalities, all different type of skill sets. And bro, them dudes was just one of a kind. It started with, you know, Cam. Mm. Cam Chancellor's name speaks for himself. You got Earl on the back end making his plays. Brandon Browner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Y'all remember him? Yeah. About 6'5".
Yeah, big body out there.
Yeah.
The enforcer.
Yeah. And so, man, them dudes were special, man. And we all just had a love and a brotherhood that we didn't want to let each other down on the football field.
Yeah.
We didn't let each other down. And we knew that if you didn't get to the ball quickly, you're not making this play.
Right. Was that an environment or a culture that Pete – like kind of grew around there, or that was the guys who was the GM at that time?
It was Snyder, John Snyder.
Was it the guys that Snyder brought in that, you know, that had that mentality and just wanted to fight and play for one another?
I believe it was a combination of both. You had Pete was laid back, fun. He preached competition and he just let us go at it. And you see, it'll be a fight or two break out of practice, but that's what made us who we were. And then you bring in some dogs and myself, you bring in these type A personalities and guys that just have the mindset, we about to be the best on this football field. Mm-hmm. And so it was definitely a great draft by them and a great structure that they had up in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And we just, man, with their run we had was really special.
Yeah.
And real quick, Eric gave us some inside information regarding the nickname. The nickname came from a fan calling into a radio show in Seattle. So a fan actually gave you guys that nickname, Legion of Boom.
I thought so. Yeah.
It's pretty dope. We got to figure out who that fan is. Maybe he's probably entitled to some type of financial type benefit or something, right?
Yeah.
I would think so. So, KJ, let's get to Super Bowl 48, right? The beginning of the ball game, everybody is fired up. The emotions are extremely high. The ball snaps over Peyton Manning's head, and you're chasing after Knowshon Moreno in the end zone. When that play happened, seeing what was going on, what were you thinking?
I mean, I thought, first of all, stuff like that never happens.
Yeah.
But we knew that this team was a talented team, but we knew that we were better. We knew that we had the dogs on both sides of the ball. We knew that our game plan was fire. We was going to run our same stuff we always ran, but the way we was going to play it, the concepts that they ran, we're going to take away they best stuff.
So 43-8, that's just something that teams don't do in the Super Bowl.
No.
You know what I mean? Right. To hold the GOAT to 8 points, and they shouldn't even score that many, which is crazy. They shouldn't even score that many. And so, man, that was just a special day, man, for us to finally get there. First of all, but to win it in that fashion was pretty special.
And you guys were underdogs too. They were 2-1.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. That's what made it more special that you guys entered that game as the underdog. As the underdog, what led you guys to one of the most dominated performances? You know, obviously you kind of, you know, elaborated on it saying that you guys had a fire game plan and they kind of, you know, fell in you guys' lap with the concept that it was doing on offense. But the way you guys put a beating on them guys and to know that you guys were coming in as an underdog was a bit shocking. I know Vegas was a little upset with that one for sure.
Yeah, and tell you the truth, bro, I didn't even know nothing about the underdog stuff. I just knew when watching the film, I saw, okay, like these dudes are good, but the defenses they playing, they can't match what anything that they've seen all year.
Right.
They haven't seen anything like our defense. And so we all know the formula to a championship defense wins championships. And so that was pretty cool for us to get that.
Yeah, and that game was over in the first quarter.
Oh, it was.
It was over in the first 4 minutes of the first quarter.
It was.
Yeah.
I said it was over when Percy returned that kick to the house.
Oh, it was a wrap.
That was second half, right?
Yeah.
Right after half. That was the opening kickoff after
that was
half.
Opening kickoff.
Yep.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Then let's fast forward next year. You guys ran it back, right?
Yeah.
In Arizona against Tom Brady, the New England Patriots. Let me ask you this question. And listen, we all play defense throughout our careers. And there's been times as a defender when we watching the offense either from the sideline on the jumbotron.
Run the ball, man.
And you like, what y'all doing? Like, what? Run the ball. KJ, what was going through your mind on that interception by Malcolm Butler? Matter of fact, before you answer that question, KJ, what was going through your mind before the offense came out of the huddle? Because I don't know if you actually knew what the play was, but did you, in your mind, you're like, you got to give it to beast mode. We game over. We win. So take us through through your mindset leading up to that play and then after the play was over.
Dog, I kid you not. I remember the play was yesterday. When we came out the huddle, I was screaming. I was literally screaming. Y'all know I'm a chill dude. But I was screaming, why are we in shotgun?
Right.
Yep.
Why are we in shotgun, first of all? And, bro, next thing I know, the ball snapped. And this dude, Malcolm, first of all, he had no business making that play. He have no business making that play, running through a dude. Catching the ball with, like, his bicep. Don't nobody make that type of play.
Right.
And, bro, it was unreal how it all unfolded. And then like, that shit's over.
Hey, Bobby, you want to know something? I met Bobby. KJ, you want to know something crazy about that? So, you know, obviously I was teammates with Chandler. So yeah. Chandler talk about that all the time because they practice at our facility. He was like, dog, you want to know something crazy? And he showed us the clip. He was like, man, we practiced this play. The last play of practice on Saturday or Friday, whichever day it was. He said they practiced that play, the last play of practice or whichever day they full practice was. And I'd be damned, it came alive on the last play of the game. How crazy is that though?
Man.
And bro, stuff like that does present itself on Sundays. Like, oh, here it come. They in this formation. This part of the field. Let's execute. Mm-hmm. But dog, that the way they executed it was crazy. It started with Brandon Brown on Jermaine.
Being aggressive. You got to be aggressive at the point of attack.
Yeah, and bro, it's just unreal.
We see it all the time though, man, in football. NFL coaches get paid a lot of money and sometimes they're not thinking logically. And we just saw that in the Super Bowl, right? It's 4-1 and they in shot.
And the wrong dude is in at running.
And they don't even got Joe Mixon in the ball game.
They did that twice.
Yes.
Matter of fact, they did that three times because he did a quarterback sneak on the second one.
And third down, they ran the ball. Joe Mixon wasn't even in the game.
Man. I said, why is 34 in crunch time?
We see fans. I know a lot of people that watch the game. They ask me, like, is that for real? Like, oh, coach is trying to point shit. I'm like, no, that's just how they think sometimes. Offensively, they try to make things more difficult than what it is. If you guys line up under center, KJ, and run the ball, 9 times out of 10, he's going to score. You got 2 rings right now.
And I could live with it. And I could sleep good at night if we don't get it.
Exactly.
Right. I could sleep
if you don't get it by running, that's the best opportunity we have to score instead of
I throwing. Told my wife.
We play defense. Ahead. We all play defense. Right. If you're in that situation, you'd rather them throw the ball.
No doubt about it. Hey, because I tell my wife this. I was like, man, that's embarrassing. If 5 offensive linemen cannot push, they don't even have to push nobody. No. At least set the line of scrimmage.
Let them fall forward.
Yeah, I mean, at least set the line of scrimmage. If they can't set the line of scrimmage for 1 yard, what are we doing?
Yeah.
are we doing?
No question.
And fellas, I kid you not, ever since then, we have not been the same. Ever since then,
do you think that broke up the team
from the top down? The dynamic has not been right. You know, you walk in the building, you just feel the vibes,
right? Yeah,
you just feel energy. Mm. That little black ass cloud hung over us for a couple of years.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you. My follow up was going to be: most people felt like you guys were getting ready to create establish a dynasty, because all your key contributors were young. The following offseason, I think Russell got his big payday, but everyone else was still young. Why didn't we see the dynasty we thought we would see after that Super Bowl? You think it had a lot to play with that decision to throw the football? Were there other things that led to the dynasty not becoming a reality?
I mean, Brian, when you do that, like, I'm looking at you like, can I trust you? Like, do you really have this team's best interest at heart? That you want a certain somebody to be the hero subconsciously? Like what? Like you took, like something got taken away from me, from us.
Yeah.
On something that was silly. It was really silly.
Right.
And so that, like I said, that black cloud, it hangs over you. And so you can't move the same. You don't trust each other the same. The dynamic is just broken. Mm-hmm. And so that's why that dynasty didn't happen, because it was for sure going to happen. We get that second one. We're going back.
Right.
you don't want to lose like that.
Yeah.
You losing a Super Bowl is hard. Losing a ball game is hard. But losing like that, when you have one of the more physical running backs in National Football League at that time. And Pat P, like you said, is even if the offensive line don't do their job well enough, beast mode is good enough to make them right.
And it was second down.
Second down.
And yeah, Pat P, it was second down. Man. I'm running in second. Third, fourth. If they stop us 3 downs, they deserve to win.
We are, no doubt about it.
That's all good.
Beast mode can't get me one. Come on now. What are we talking about?
My thing is this, like, and I understand what you said. That's some cool information you've given us. But as the quarterback, you like, yo, wait a minute. No, chat.
Yeah.
Like and you, let's.
And I love Russ. I love Russ. I'm going to give him grace. That was his second year. Was his second year playing quarterback. You know, he did what came in his headset.
Right.
And so if it was a Russ today, I believe Russ looked at the coach like, you tripping, I'm about to audible it, or I'm about to call my own run play. But I'm going to give him grace, man, and say he just did what he was told.
What do you think?
That's like Matt Ryan when they planned the Patriots, when they should have ran the ball. And they
Matt Ryan was older than Russ. Russ was in year 3. Matt
but,
Ryan
no, that's
was the
what
MVP.
I'm saying, though. I was going to KJ's point. Like, that's what I would have did if I'm Matt Ryan. Like, Kyle, you tripping right now, man. We about to run this football, take as much time off the clock, get a field goal, be up by, I think they would have been up by 9.
Yeah, they took that set. They took that set.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Run the football.
Freeman was having
the game of his life.
Yeah.
But yeah, the head. I mean,
oh, and okay. Russ was in year 3, huh? That was his third year.
Yeah, that was his third year. He had a little leeway. He had a little leeway.
Third year.
Yeah, because y'all just won his second year.
Yeah, he had leeway.
Second year. He had leeway.
He had a little leeway. Yeah, leeway. You know, maybe he wanted that extra passing touchdown, that extra throwing touchdown.
Hey, I remember this though. I will say this, KJ. Tell me if this is like a theory or something that was hanging around. the locker room. I remember some media was saying that obviously Pete didn't want to give, let Marshawn become the hero because Marshawn would have had to be, like, obviously present himself, mm-hmm. talk to the media. So they wanted Russ to be the hero because he was a much more representative of the team.
I believe that, I don't believe it was intentional. That's the thing. Stuff's going too fast. I believe that subconsciously that it was in their mind, let Russ do it. Mm. Let Russ do it. And bro, this like, was it intentional to not give the ball to Marshawn? I don't think so. But the way that stuff happened, how fast it was, I believe that it was a moment like we want Russ to be the guy. Mm. Mm. And if they, and you know, obviously if they knew what was on the other side, they wouldn't have done it. But I don't believe they intentionally meant to not give the ball to Marshawn.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It felt that way. It felt that way.
Yeah. Hey. Somebody need to ask Pete this. Like, has he even answered this question?
I don't think no one ever asked him that question. I think, you know, that was locker room talk right there.
Hey, I want the answer myself.
Right. We all do, because I still can't figure that. I didn't even play for y'all, but I'm hurting that y'all. You got to get that second round. Because if you get the second one, you know everything shifts to the third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not too many people can do back-to-back, especially with a young group of guys that are still in their rookie deals. You still got money to play around with, you know, and resources to continue to get better. And like you said, it makes sense now, KJ, because from afar, we was like, oh, they got a dynasty brewing. But then mm-hmm. things started to happen, and clearly the direction didn't go as accordingly. And question I have for you, what do you think happens now for Russell Wilson? Do you think it's best for him to move on if he would like to try to play for another Super Bowl or stick it out there in Seattle? Because clearly we heard rumors that he wanted to leave Seattle last year. He eventually stayed. But now seeing what is going on in the division and also with Russell getting older, do you think it's best mm-hmm. for him to try to force his way out?
I mean, my question to Russ is, if you do want to leave, what else out there is better offensively than what you have? Because, mm-hmm. dog, you got a monster in number 14. You got Lockett that you got crazy chemistry with. What else? What better duo can you find out there? And so the way I'm looking at it, he needs to stay put. And, bro, just you, like 2 years ago, we was 14 and No, we was 12-4.
Yep.
We was 12-4 when I was there, my last year there. We had the blueprint to go to make another run for it. And so, bro, you got a lot of good pieces in Seattle. You got a lot of good pieces in Seattle. And I said something in this interview the other day about him taking a pay cut. A lot of people got upset. But what I meant to say was, like, there's so many free agents that could come back and help you get to where you want to go. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, man, it's a good team in Seattle, good organization. Stay put, keep it going, and try to get back to that Super Bowl.
Yeah, I could. It's going to be hard to see Russell in another uniform, but you never know in this league for sure. This is my last one before we let you go. Man, you got have some similarities, obviously, playing for the same organization for 10 years and playing for a new one this year. But your new organization went through a little bit of adversity. How were you guys able to overcome that?
It wasn't easy. It was not easy. And the stuff that I saw this year was something I ain't never seen in my career from, you know, all the adversity that we faced. Thank mm-hmm. God that we had good character men in that locker room to say, hey, fellas, this is what we up against. Mm-hmm. And we can find every excuse in the book to say, hey, we had this adversity. Let's just lose, you know, let's just tank this season. Or we could bow up, grow up. Let's put this stuff behind us and going forward, let's just do right. And so as y'all saw that last four games of the season, we had to win those four to get in. Mm-hmm. We took it one game at a time and thankfully made the playoffs. And so hats off to the leadership with Derek, Max Crosby is amazing, Yannick Ngakoue, and my head coach was phenomenal too. So we got it done.
Yeah. Last question I have for you, KJ, you know, what's next for you? You know, you're a free agent. You play well for the Raiders. Would you like to return to Las Vegas? Do you know what's next for you when it comes to your football career?
I'm gonna tell y'all this. If I have another free agent experience the way I had last year, I'm gonna retire. Because that was not fun. That was not fun waiting. Until, I don't know if y'all realize, but I didn't sign until week one of the regular season. Yeah. Just first of all, that the first few days go by, you see guys get signed. Okay, cool. You feel like your time coming, and don't nobody want to make an offer, a respectful offer. I'm cool. Just the stress and the anxiety and the not knowing where I'm gonna take my family, because the Raiders signed me so late, I couldn't even take my family with me to Vegas. So having to stay in Vegas by myself, them in Seattle, that's for the birds. And so if a team comes early in the free agency, something respectful, yeah, we can make something happen.
Well, there you have it. Whoever your favorite team is, you might need, be in dire need of an athletic big run linebacker that still can move sideline to sideline and provide championship and leadership. That. The offer got to be respectful. That's number one. And they got to happen sooner than later instead of after week one or week two. KJ is ready to rock and roll, man. KJ Wright joining us here on All Things Covered. Pat Peterson, Brian McFadden, Mississippi State Bulldog, great Seattle Seahawks legend, Super Bowl champion, 2016 Pro Bowler, joining us here. KJ, man, thank you for your time. Best of luck to you this upcoming season. And if not, we know you're going to go ahead and be great at whatever it is you're trying to be great at, because that's the type of guy you are. Appreciate you joining us.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.